relax in the pine forest, with occasional interjections from various other aspects of the whole thing. Valery Gergiev and the St. Petersburg Orchestra there take us through just one of the samples of Tchaikovsky we're going to be featuring as we connect now once again with Los Angeles to speak to artistic director extraordinaire and ace choreographer Andrea Parias Gutierrez. Good morning, Andrea. Are you well?
Good morning, I'm well. How are you?
Sensational. Delighted to speak to your good self. Now, looking at your CV, you began dancing at 5 years of age, and that was in Auckland, New Zealand, under the British Ballet Method.
That's correct, yes. I was trained by my mother there and grew up dancing in New Zealand before I moved to the US.
So clearly from that point of view, the Royal New Zealand Ballet, you've toured internationally, moved to Los Angeles in the 20th century, actually, astonishingly enough. It was amazing. You've been in productions of Sugar Baby, Song of Norway, Anything Goes, My Fair Lady, and of course Pajama Game, as well as choreographing and performing with Opera Pacific and LA Opera. You've been on shows such as General Hospital, the Academy Awards, Beaches, Penny Sweat. I mean, you've done everything, Andrea. This is just phenomenal.
Well, I grew up in my, you know, in my mother's dance studio, so you learn everything. You take the ballet, and you take the tap and the contemporary work, so you have the opportunity to cross genres when you are a performer, and I think these days that's even more important than it was way back then.
It's just sophistication carried to the nth degree. Now, a critical aspect of this, you are now founder and artistic director of the Los Angeles Youth Ballet. Have you noticed a change in terms of how youngsters are kind of taking to the ballet? Or is it a case of, no, it's just like the animated movie Ballerina. You've got a dream, you fulfill it.
Well, it takes a tremendous amount of time, energy and effort. I think that the landscape is changing. I think that dancers these days are much more diverse in their training, and I think that ballet companies are looking for dancers that can do multiple styles of choreography. So I think in that way it's changed. Yes, used to be the modern dancers were over here, and the jazz dancers and the Broadway dancers were over here, and the ballet dancers. But now dancers seem to be able to cross into different genres and do multiple styles.
Versatility very much being the key to the line of that perspective.
Yeah,
now, we have a young operatic singer in the studio here, Eva MacDonald. Eva, have you ever considered ballet?
I would love to have done ballet when I was little. But with the problem of flat feet, it's a bit harder. But I do love watching ballet. I have been to some ballets. And I really love the music of ballets and just being involved in them. Really, just watching them and getting involved in it that way is something that I like to do. But yes, it's very pretty. I love the music.
And Natalie, have you ever considered the ballet? If your events organisation didn't quite work through, is this something we thought, I could always do the ballet?
I'm not quite
too tall,
light
perhaps.
Enough on my feet
too tall.
For ballet, I don't think.
See, I think Julie Corden's the right size for the ballet.
I think she is. I think we should put that to her.
In fact, I rely on your good self to actually do that.
Indeed.
Let's have a little musical theme and a little musical break, if that's okay, Andrea, because we mentioned about Tchaikovsky's awesome production of the Nutcracker. 1:50. If it's okay with you, Andrea, we'll actually sort of have a little suggestion for something that maybe Natalie could take to Julie to actually work our way through the process. It is, of course, the Dance of the Sugar Plum Fairy.
Thank you.
Awesome. And we've also been joined by Hannah Brown and Tessa Snott to practice their dance of the Sugar Plum Fairy. Hannah, have you ever considered ballet?
Oh, I'm not graceful enough for that.
Okay. Tessa, ballet?
Yes, I used to do it when I was younger. I did it for quite a few years. I loved it.
Well, I mean, everybody loves the ballet, Andrea. I'm amazed, though, in this particular production of The Nutcracker, you've got more than 75 children as well as two Joffrey Ballet principal dancers, including your son. 75 children and your own son. Did you take a leave of your senses?
Well, sometimes I wonder, actually, Alex. But, yes, the Nutcracker is very appealing to children, and having them participate in the production, of course, is a wonderful way to introduce them to how the working parts go together of being part of a classical ballet and telling a story. So we are working on that for our very first time. It's our 25th anniversary of our dance school. So we decided to break out the Nutcracker this year. And also my son and his partner on the stage, as well as in life from the Joffrey Ballet, Geraldine Mendoza, are coming out from Chicago to perform with us. My son actually trained in London at the Royal Ballet School, and Geraldine Mendoza trained in Moscow at the Bolshoi.
So you've got the necessary DNA that's working through the process. Now, you've also got young 13-year-old Darian Selman, who's also joining us, 13 years of age, and big things are projected for Darian, it would seem.
Yes, he's a very talented young man. He actually just got back from training for 2 weeks at White Lodge in England, and is a national scholar for the Royal Ballet School, and he also was a winner at the Youth America Grand Prix Finals in New York City last April. Very talented young gentleman, 13 years old, very passionate about his ballet and training, and I expect to see big things from him in the future.
So no pressure there, obviously. In terms of the whole, so New Zealand or Los Angeles, which one would you, if pushed, would you actually sort of say it's West Coast or the Maoris?
Oh, I've lived in Los Angeles for a very long time. I've lived here for 30 years, so I love it very much. I love the weather. I do get back to New Zealand to visit. I actually sponsor a scholarship program in New Zealand, so I go back and judge a competition there. I go like every 5 years, but they do send a New Zealand student out during the summer months to train with us, so it's lovely to partner with my city back home and stay connected in that way with people that I danced with growing up.
I'm thinking, Natalie, we really need to have some ballet great minds here. I mean, we haven't really any connection with us, so our great lives would connect from that perspective, which is a whole race. Anyway, Natalie, any other questions that you'd like to put to Andrea?
Probably the same question I asked earlier. Andrea, have you ever visited the UK, and where's your favourite place?
Mm.
Oh, I have. I visited London a couple of times when my son was there training. I had the pleasure of seeing him dance on the stage at the Opera House at his graduation. So London is all I've seen, but I do love it. I would live there in a heartbeat.
Well, you know, that's nice, but obviously we'd like to say Lincoln is equally as wonderful in its own way, so we'll work our way through that process. In fact, funny enough, Andrea, I think the notion of actually having students, when they graduate, dance their graduation in terms of do a ballet performance, a pas de deux, a plié, and so on, I think it would work well.
Yes.
It would work well. Anyway, Hannah, any thoughts from yourself about the ballet, the Nutcracker Suite, and so on?
Ooh, big question. So, see, the Nutcracker is a famous ballet. Do you have any personal favourite other ballets?
Well, I recently saw my son, Dylan Gutierrez, make his debut in Giselle in Chicago, and I think that's a really beautiful story, beautiful ballet. I love Swan Lake. I love Ashton's Romeo and Juliet. However, I think there's some incredible young choreographers coming up, and there's some beautiful new material coming out there, and that's always really interesting to expose yourself to, as well as the classics. So I think that there's a lot of new work coming down the pike, and that's really interesting to watch. And if you're a dance lover and you have seen the classics, I would encourage everybody to expand their horizons and look at some of the contemporary works as well.
It's the level of fitness that always impresses me with respect to whether it's the ballet boys in this country or various other areas. It's phenomenal, really, because you just think, oh, we just put the tutu on and then it all works magically. No, a bit more to it than that, I think.
There's an amazing amount of energy and athleticism in it. I mean, the hours a day that they're able to dance and then go onto the stage and then at night and perform is just incredible.
Eva?
Well, actually, I was going to ask about about your favourite ballet, because my favourite ballet is obviously, I really like Tchaikovsky, that's a really nice one. I can't actually hear what you're saying, so I can't, oh, I didn't never hear quite, what the favourite one was.
This is it, you see, you get Tessa Snart and she instantly snatches the headphones off and I tell you what, let's move on, Andrea, to some of the details about the performances. Friday, December the 22nd, 7 p.m. and Saturday, December 23rd, 2 p.m. and 7 p.m. at Glendale's Annex Theatre. So important there for, obviously, our colleagues in Los Angeles, maybe in Chilpack Hollywood. Perhaps Lily Holliman could be treated to the ballet with Phil Leonis if they work through that process. Are tickets still available for those performances?
Yes, absolutely. Tickets are on sale through the Alex Theatre, and there are still good seats available.
Excellent. This is good. And I would say the Los Angeles Ballet Academy and Los Angeles Youth Ballet are one of the best ballet academies in the country. If Tessa wanted to kind of resume her interest when she's not doing sound and country vision and other sort of matters arising with respect to that in terms of ballet, what's the kind of criterion that we actually have in terms of what's the ideal process for ballet? I mean, presumably you're going to say, sorry, Tessa, you're far too chronologically gifted, experientially enhanced, or possibly just old.
Well, I think that, for professional ballet dancers, they usually start very young. They usually start between 8 and 10 years old is when serious training actually begins. One of the things that we have here at Los Angeles Ballet Academy is we have a thriving adult program. So we have a lot of former dancers or people that always enjoyed it but never had the opportunity to take it that come in here and take a ballet class. And I just think that it's a great way to exercise without the grind, because you walk into the room, there's classical music playing, it has the artistic element, and at the same time, we said before, the athleticism of it is just amazing for the body. And you have to say that ballerinas definitely have the most beautiful legs, wouldn't you agree?
I would probably agree, but I don't want to sort of go any way down a line that could be seen as an inappropriate comment. So, Tessa, over to yourself. In terms of that, does that appeal? Would you be likely to actually take Andrea's offer up there, actually resuming your ballet classes when you fly over to Los Angeles?
Well, I would love to take up ballet again. I did it for quite a few years, actually. But I ended up, I think, quitting because obviously life got in the way.
Oh, no.
But I would definitely take classes again. I think it's a wonderful.
Well, I also think that a lot of children that come into the studio and take ballet are not necessarily going to become professionals. Only about 2% of people that take it growing up end up being professional dancers. However, the artistic element and the joy that it brings to a young person as part of their life, I think, is very, very valuable.
One thing I did notice in my class, and growing up while I was doing ballet, there was only one male dancer, which is a real, real shame. Do you find that still, or are you seeing more male dancers?
We have a sponsored program here at Los Angeles Ballet Academy where we hold 4 different classes per week for different ages, exclusively for boys. And yes, it is more difficult to get boys into ballet because I think parents don't necessarily think about it as an option. But there's definitely more boys coming into it these days as we open up career options for girls and for boys. So, yes, there's definitely less boys, but the interest is definitely improving as time goes by.
See who work. And as we have the waltzle of flowers in the background from the Nutcracker, we have 2 final questions to actually put to yourself, Andrea. First of all, have you had a reasonably interesting, graceful telephonic link with us on the programme today? Has it been okay for you?
Absolutely. It's been thrilling to speak to you guys.
Well, then the next critical question is, will you be able to join us again in 2018 to keep us appraised of what excellent work you're doing with the Los Angeles Youth Ballet and more?
That would be wonderful. I'd love to.
I think that deserves a round of applause. Yay! And exactly. It's still good stuff. Valerie Gergiev and St. Petersburg take us out with the Nutcracker, Waltz of the Flowers. gracefulness personified. The worm crept through the virtual spaces of the world, threading itself imperceptibly through fibres and circuits, spreading silently across networks. It travelled patiently, carefully, a parasite replicating by laying eggs in host after host, spreading its presence exponentially around the globe. Its larvae would lie dormant for days, waiting for the opportunity to leap a new void, until the file in which the code slept was emails to an unsuspecting recipient. And the journey continued. The opening words not of the Nutcracker, but of Bitcoin Hurricane, Sim Cavalier Book 1, written by the amazingly wonderful Kate Bosharel. Kate, how are you? Welcome to the programme.
I am very well. Good evening. How are you?
Well, I thought it was only right to give a little bit of Tchaikovsky backing there to the opening paragraph from chapter one of Bitcoin Hurricane, which is, as I said, an interesting cyber thriller for our times. Set in the near future. And, well, share with us, what's it all about, Kate? Bitcoin Hurricane.
Oh, my word. There's so many things going on in tech at the moment, and I actually work with
with companies, with emerging technology, with all the exciting things that are being developed. And somebody approached me and said, can you write a book about cybersecurity? Because I've written all sorts of things for business about digital stuff. And about halfway through our coffees and lunches and discussions, he said, could you make it fiction? And I said, of course I can't. I can't write fiction. Mm. And then I did.
So
Bitcoin Hurricane is a book that involves real tech. Everything in there, all the risks and all the gadgets and all the tech that surrounds the characters and the storyline exists. But I've pushed it a little way into the future so that I can have drones flying around my head and delivering my food and driverless cars zipping around the road. So I had a lot of fun with it.
Cameron Silvera runs a threat intelligence agency in 2040s London. While defusing a routine cyber attack in a city bank, the team uncovers a warning of chaos to come. How will Cameron's team and their friends and families prepare to battle the oncoming storm? Great read. According to the ebook, yes, Kate, not only did I actually purchase a real hard copy book, I've even gone and got an ebook as well, because I thought, you can't read this. You can't read this just as a hard book. You've got to have an ebook as well, surely. Typical time to read, 3 hours, 49 minutes. Well, there we are. A nice little number. It'll sort of be an aperitif for that. It's Bitcoin Hurricane, which I'll pass over to the team to actually have a little perusal of a present, because
as you
may have gathered, we've got Eva McDonald, we've got Tessa Snart, and we've got Hannah Brown. Hannah, keen Harry Potter soul. So actually, had Hannah been actually around when I happened to, stumble in, I mean, it's all destiny, clearly. I just basically wanted to check a newspaper in a certain well-known newsagent that's often found, initial W and ending in HS, around various places. This was actually in the Northeast, actually.
In
Stockton. Having just seen Justice League, great movie. I thought, I'll just stop by the actual thing there. And who should actually be in the front of the store but Kate Bosherell with copies of Bitcoin Hurricane, said, would you like some science fiction? I said, you know when you get stuck and you think, oh, it's not another chugger, is it? It's not somebody who's going to sort of say, oh, Lord, etc. But I thought, no, don't be true. And so I thought, it's okay, it's fine. So then I thought, well, I had a little wonder, let's head back. And she said, science fiction? Interesting. And lo and behold, here you are making your debut on the Midweek Drive.
Absolutely. I'm delighted to be here.
How did the day go, by the way, that time spent? Because I always feel sorry for authors to a certain extent when you're there and you think, Lord, you know, buy it, please, for goodness sakes.
It was really interesting, and it was amazing the people who said, yes, I do, and got interested and bought a copy. And apparently that's quite rare.
People buying copies as well. Exactly.
A lot of people sit there for a long time.
Most publishers, effectively, they sort of give copies out as complimentary things. It's a range of things. That, no, only kidding, obviously. Hannah, any questions that you want to put to Kate about Bitcoin Hurricane?
Yeah, well, I'm a big book nerd fan and a big science fiction fan, so this is sounding amazing. Could you just give me maybe a brief overview of what it's about without maybe giving away too much?
No spoilers.
But I'm intrigued and I want to know more.
Well, scarily enough, truth kept being stranger than fiction while I was writing it. So we meet Cameron and the team. And they're working within a bank because it's had a cyber attack. Everything's gone down. People are annoyed. They can't get their money out of the cash points, and they have to dig around and find out what's wrong. And while they're doing that, while they're fixing it, they find an encoded message that warns them that there is more coming. And we know from the start that there is something lurking in the networks of the world, and we don't know what it is. And so they spend some time trying to prepare for the oncoming storm of whatever this new attack is going to be, and putting all of their resources into preventing something that eventually happens, and they have to deal with that as well. And they win at the end, which is...
Oh, please, spoilers, please. You know, a couple of points which I thought are worth mentioning. It's not until page 60 that you're actually sure of the gender of the lead character. And that was a nice twist. I liked that. That was pleasant because I thought that was a nice thing. And then, of course, you get the connection between, obviously, Sim Cavalier, and it all sort of opens up from there. Yeah. I did feel, as I think we spoke, it was carried with the echoes of Bugs in the 1990s series.
Yes, I'd forgotten all about Bugs, and I loved that show. Yeah. And when I start thinking about it and all the green flickering LEDs and so on, I think there's something in my subconscious that was remembering that show when I was writing.
And also, for more up-to-date scenarios, aspects of Scorpion as well, CBS action series, which has got elements.
Yeah, I'm going to have to look that one up because I haven't come across it at all.
Well, that's what we're all about here, kind of networking, developing a range of other factors, Kate. Tessa, any questions?
Well, I'm just coming into the sequel now, so I might have to go and have a look at that.
Sim Cavalier, Book 2.
Book 2.
Tessa, any thoughts, questions for yourself?
I was just going to say, I've literally just had a little read over the first page, and I think it's really, really cleverly written. Like you say, I like the references to the bugs.
In fact, if anything, 2040 is maybe a little bit too... I mean, we've heard this week, obviously, as we've pointed out, 2045 is when artificial intelligence replaces all of our experiences. So, yes, people have been saying, Midweek Drive, it's artificial intelligence, isn't it? Yes, we have been for some time now. Only kidding. There's a human sense of line in that side of things somewhere.
Somebody's going to have to program them and pick them out of ponds when they fall over.
Do you think so?
Yes.
You know, as clearly she's back with us, Eva, Wally, exactly. They managed to look after the planet for us when we'd actually left and gone into a whole new world, which I suppose includes Mars. Precisely. Kate, it's been wonderful just sharing a few moments with your good self. We're going to head off briskly to Manchester now to actually speak to Andrew Cleek, who's running the awesome For the Love of Sci-Fi convention, which is the place to be this weekend. And unfortunately, I'm not able to
fantastic.
Make it.
If he wants me to send him some books, I will do.
Well, I think we'll be talking about that, plus Sci-Fi London, plus a whole range of other things. But I think, to be fair, when you've got David Hasselhoff, Casper Van Dien, William Shatner, and Danny John Jules in the bill, it's going to be... I know. I mean, what I'm doing a Frost Fair in Teesside and the Lincoln Book Fest... not the Lincoln Book Festival, the Lincoln Food and Gift Fair, I don't know. But still, you know, these are part of the challenges that we actually sort of have. We'll get that sorted out and done and dusted. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today, Kate?
Fantastic. Really good to talk to you all. So, and I look forward to listening to Mr. Cleek shortly as well.
Well, and in terms of a reminder, people can actually obviously go online and get Bitcoin Hurricane Sim Cavalier 1 by K.R. Bosherell. Not J.K., K.R. Okay, K.R. Bosherell, B-A-U-C-H-E-R-E-L. Do you have a website that you're promoting as yet, Kate?
If you go to katebosherell.com, I am lurking around on there. You see what I do for a real job and you see the books. And you can also, obviously, buy Bitcoin Hurricane in Bitcoin through the website if you want to.
Just covering all bases. So will you be kind enough to rejoin us and connect with us again in the not-too-distant future? Will you return, Kate?
I would be delighted.
And applause for Kate Bosherell. Yay!
Thank you!
Everybody knows that the dice are loaded. Everybody rolls with their fingers crossed. Everybody knows the war is over. Everybody knows the good guys lost. Everybody knows the fight was fixed. The poor stay poor, the rich get rich. That's how it goes. Everybody knows. Everybody knows that the boat is leaking. Everybody knows that the captain lied. Everybody got this broken feeling, like their father or their dog just died. Everybody talking to their pockets. Everybody wants a box of chocolates and a long stem rose. Everybody knows. Everybody knows that you love me, baby. Everybody knows that you really do. Everybody knows that you've been faithful. Oh, give or take a night or two. Everybody knows you've been discreet, but there were so many people you just had to meet without your clothes. Everybody knows.
So we are hours away from For the Love of Sci-Fi emerging on the planet as the most awesome experience Manchester has experienced for quite some time, actually, probably since Manchester City last won the league. William Shatner, Dolph Lundgren, David Hasselhoff, all you need, Andy Cleek, is surely Francis Lee and Dennis Stewart, and it would just be a win-win situation. Only kidding. Still, there we are. Welcome back to the Midweek Drive. How does it feel now? We're literally hours away from this awesome event that it just seems... I mean, I'm just so gutted I can't actually get there, but never mind. How wonderful is it going to be?
Well, we're working round the clock at the minute. It's no sleep. We've got all the props going in. The main arena's looking pretty good now. We're just gearing up for all the guests arriving tomorrow, so we're all excited. I think the whole of not just Manchester, but a lot of people from the UK and all over the world are excited about it as well.
You do seem to have actually produced something which, for a remarkably competitive price, is actually opening up, you know, fandom to a whole heap of other things. And you know, the dream of actually being able to create stuff, cosplaying, and so on. You know, Hannah obviously was not interested in this because she's just a Harry Potter fan. So for the love of sci-fi,
I love all things. Big Doctor Who fan, Sherlock fan, Supernatural fan. Well,
there we are. So really,
this goes on.
It would have been ideal to sort of work through that process. But just talk us through why you came up with the concept in the first place, Andy. I mean, just for the benefit of the listener who hasn't been with us before.
Yeah, I mean, but our motto at the event is it's for the fans, it's by the fans, and that's why we try and keep it at an affordable price where everybody can come. We get a lot of families coming. A lot of the money is like, in a minute, a lot of the money that we make, we invest back into the event. So just a few days ago, we've invested money into it's a 79-foot marquee. It's not actually a marquee, it's actually a building. So any money we do make, we plough back into the event to make it the best it can be. Because like I say, we're not in it for the money, we're doing it for the... You know, like the event's called, it's for the love of it, and I want to make the event the best it can be, and I think that's what we're doing.
Well, I know we're talking about hopefully 2018 doing a sort of full follow-through as we work through the process. Tessa, any questions from yourself?
Yeah, what are you most excited about showing off at the event or people seeing?
To be honest, I've gone down, I'm having like 2-3 hours sleep at the minute, and I've gone down, it's a 24-hour job, but I've gone down in the arena before and we just had the Ecto-1 rolling, and then when you see stuff like that, you realise why you're doing it. it's really cool. The prop builds for me are the biggest thing, and that's one of the concepts and the best things about our event. We'd love to build full-scale prop builds and sets, and every year we're getting bigger and bigger and we're trying to do, you know, better stuff. And I think this year you'll see, we've improved on last year again. Obviously the guests are a big part of it as well. With the guests coupled with the set and prop builds are the main features of our show.
I mean, looking at the ectomobile, that's of course from Ghostbusters. There are a whole heap of other good materials actually there. Eva, thoughts from yourself?
What is it that you really enjoy about the event? What is it that you really look forward to doing?
To be honest, there's loads of different things. I mean, the cantina bar, we always get a really good, we've got a cocktail bar in the cantina, and we always get a really good, you know, vibe going up there. It's full of cosplayers. It feels like you're in another galaxy. The orchestra is another big feature of our show. I love listening to the orchestra. It makes the hairs on the back of your neck stand up. The orchestra is playing sci-fi themes. It's playing like the Imperial March, and you've got full-size spaceships right in front of you, and it really is something else. There's different things, but for me, the orchestra is a big feature of our show.
Well, I know that many of our Starburst colleagues are keenly looking forward to attending. I'm sure SFX will be there as well. So great stuff as far as that's concerned. We appreciate that time is getting very... I mean, I don't want to sort of panic you, but basically you've got 63 hours approximately before the whole thing launches. That's right.
I know. I don't want to think about that. We just want to carry on with what we're doing.
Exactly. It's just work through the process. If people are looking for tickets for Saturday, they've sold out. Completely sold out for Saturday. But
Sunday, we sold out, I'm afraid.
Are there still any available for Sunday?
Yeah, we've still got tickets online for Sunday, but we're down to, I think we've got 500 left. I think they'll be gone by tomorrow. So anybody who does want to attend, they need to get online and get a ticket quick.
Move now. Move now if you want to go to For the Love of Sci-Fi. Go to the Facebook page For the Love of Sci-Fi. It's there. We can see the stage that's working through this. I don't know. I can't believe I did it. Still, never mind. I'm just going to have to live with it and I'll be there in spirit. Even a ghost, as a kind of ghost bluster, ectoplasmic routine. Andy, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today?
I have indeed, thank you.
So can we look forward to featuring you again in the next couple of weeks when you've had a chance to have a sleep and you've obviously seen the joy of For the Love of Sci-Fi 2017 be the fantastic success it is, and we look forward to For the Love of Sci-Fi 2018. Will you be back?
Of course I will.
Hey, round of applause, please. We will get over to Manchester again, I promise you.
Thank you. Should say now, happy belated birthday to Phil Dearness. Let's say it, okay? Happy belated birthday, Phil Dearness. Yeah, you see, ideally Lily would have taken him to For the Love of Sci-Fi, but he actually had to go to a puppet store in Los Angeles that's been featured in NCIS Los Angeles. Still, it's hard. He was the king for the day. He was made king for the day, which is always good. Celebrate that point of view. It's marvellous. And Ian Lennox is very excited with the comments that Phil has been making about his book, I can tell you. Phil Dearness, welcome to the production. How are you, sir?
It was not king for the day, Alex. It actually was a year-long royal reign that was dropped onto my shoulders.
Good heavens.
And heavy weight of the crown, and I'll do my royal darndest to live up to the august expectations.
I'm sure you'll be able to cope in the same way as that other American, Meghan, is going to cope with joining the royal family in the near future. Now her acting career has been put on hold. It'll happen.
Very exciting that news. Yes, can't wait to talk to Richard Fitzwilliams about it.
Oh, Richard cannot sort of wait either to talk to you about it. I mean, as you may have gathered, he's already been such a busy bee. Admittedly, he's had to come to terms, and he's probably been having therapy with the fact that Hannah hasn't made up her sort of record of the smiley face for Richard Fitzwilliams likes this movie to the not-so-smiley face. It's all right. Hannah's chilling out, really. She's tired. Aww. You need some sleep. Aww. You know, it's like working on a film in this picture where you're kind of just having to go through that extra mile, really, from that point of view. But we'll continue to support you, I'm sure. It's too many open days, that's what I say. Too many open days, not enough sleep. Sorry, Natalie, if you're listening. Phil, whom would you like to speak to? Because, as I say, the return of Hannah Brown, the return of Tessa Snart, and The Return of Eva MacDonald. You got three fantastic souls there. Who do you wish to talk to about the programme this evening, or indeed anything else you'd like to raise?
I want each one of them in turn to tell me their favourite part of this evening's programme.
Oh, well, Eva?
Hello.
What's been your favourite part of the show so far?
What's been my favourite part of the show? Oh, I did really enjoy talking to Andrea, because she was talking about the ballet, and I always love watching the ballet, and especially enjoy listening to Tchaikovsky. So definitely that.
And a reminder for Phil Linus and Lily Holliman, A Wonderful Christmas Treat, three performances of the Los Angeles Youth Ballet's version of The Nutcracker, Friday, December the 22nd, 7 p.m, Saturday, December the 23rd, 2 p.m, and 7 p.m, at Glendale's Alex Theatre. So they can go there, and they can think of me. That's nice, you know, it's very good. Yeah. Probably won't, but still, never mind.
Wait a minute. How did you know about this thing at the Alex Theatre?
Because we were featuring the director and the choreographer on the programme this evening.
But did you know in advance that as a patron of Glendale Arts, which I am through the Los Angeles Breakfast Club Charitable Foundation, that we were given months ago free and spectacular tickets to that event? Did you know that I was going to be attending?
Phil,
because if you did, you are incredible. You're even more brilliant than I gave you credit for, and suddenly I feel even more of a burden because I'm going not just as a representative now of the Los Angeles Texas Club Foundation, but as a duly designated correspondent for the midweek drive.
Yeah. Well, you know, you can cope, Phil. We know you can actually carry that weight. Carry that weight a long time. Boy, you got to carry that weight a long time.
Oh, well, that was a great first highlight of the show. Now I want to get two more highlights of the show.
Exactly. Hannah.
My highlight has to be talking to Kate about her book, Bitcoin Hurricane, because, as I said, massive book nerd and sci-fi fan, and it sounded really interesting. I am going to go look for it.
It does sound really interesting. Did you find out if there's movie rights available?
We didn't, but we can try and find out for you.
I think we could do the introductions, Phil, if you like. I mean, I could certainly set that up for you. It's always sort of thinking about the whole connectivity line of things.
I expect all the midweek drivettes to fill out complete reports on the book, because, as you know, I rarely touch paper myself. Unless it's given to me directly by the author, such as the case with Ian Lennox and the brothers. But I want a full report before we go too far down the line of negotiating the film rights.
Now, Phil, just to actually hold fire for a moment, would you be kind enough to effectively hang up, not literally sort of at this moment, but I'm going to actually try and reach you on a slightly, well, we'll use the same line, but hopefully we'll get, because it's a bit crackly, and Phil is not really one, I mean, even though crackling is a very important part of the British festivities that we're heading up to, I don't think we really wanted to sort of sound as, in that sort of basis. So, Phil, if you'd be kind enough to say farewell for the moment, we will actually cover a little bit of China Crisis, and hopefully, as if by magic, be back with you in about a minute from now, if that's all right. There we are, you see. That's all he needed to do, and that's what he's done. Great cosmic consciousness does know in the end that Phil Linus is now back and back to his normal level of quality. Isn't that right, Phil?
Well, I don't know what that level of quality is, and I would dare I say now, as the king of the year, I should be held to a much higher level of quality.
I'm already beginning to put the pen to paper as far as new jingle formats are concerned. And fortunately, Phil Herdwood is signing up in a couple of weeks' time to talk about his movie, and so it's all very good. Anyway, the listener who
okay,
is...
So we've heard about ballet, we've heard about the Bitcoin book. What was the third highlight that I'm going to be treated to?
Tessa.
Well, I only joined halfway through the programme, so I've got to say I enjoyed both about the ballet and the new Bitcoin Hurricane novel. I actually really enjoyed both, but I'm quite a ballet fan, so that was probably my favourite highlight.
And Owen Paul, my favourite waste
of
time.
Oh, yes, that looks good.
He's coming back next week.
Oh, good.
Because he's already
left. Okay.
So he'll be on the show next week.
I missed that. That would be interesting.
Don't panic. It's okay. We've also got Jess and the Bandits on next week as well.
Or
sometime in the future. Anyway, so she's back in America now.
Yes.
Anyway, random thoughts. I thought Al Wyman was very good personally. What did you think about Al Wyman? Talking about meeting Paul McCartney, talking about being the first reporter on the scene of the Charles Manson murders. You know, talking about life and death and what happened in that dreadful day. Also, when he met the Beatles, which wasn't dreadful at all. So that's worth checking out the podcast for. Anyways.
I think perhaps the whole show's been the highlight then.
I like to feel it is a oneness. It's a oneness that actually sort of connects in its own way, really. Much like Sheila Pack Hollywood actually does once they work their way through all sorts of wonderful processes, which is great. Anyway, Hannah, what sort of questions would you like to put to Phil? Or would it be simply because of how do you cope with lack of sleep and writing your essays and sorting things through and all of that malarkey that's there? And in the case of Martina Vieca, yes, I shall name and shame her, having to cope with somebody who actually changes your Facebook status because you haven't logged out and then claims on Facebook that in essence you have fallen out of love with Harry Potter. You've had
That was Martina, yes.
Yeah. Name and shame.
It wasn't me. I would never write. I'm never falling out of love with Harry Potter.
Well, there we are. Name and shame. When she does the news tomorrow morning, I will probably reiterate that and want to know on it. Anyway, over to you, Hannah.
Well, yes, so what have you been up to since the last time we spoke? Because it's been a few weeks now.
Half a year, really?
Half a year. I think it's 4 weeks that I've missed through circumstance.
Work placement,
then work, then...
And stuff.
Harry Potter.
Stuff happens.
Well, yeah. Well the last week here in Los Angeles, I mean, it was enough to pack full an entire month. I mean, we celebrated American Thanksgiving. I had my birthday. I went to the puppet show you might have heard. I was made King of the Year. And
King of the Year?
And attended,
it's impressive.
Attended so many screenings for films that are award hopefuls that are going to be coming out. Saw Steven Spielberg's The Post. Attended a Q&A with Mr. Spielberg himself, with Meryl Streep, Tom Hanks, cinematographer extraordinaire Janusz Kaminski, Oscar-winning writer Josh Singer. This is a film that just last night won the National Board of Review Best Picture. So it's a very busy time. It's the time of year, once you get to the holidays, that here in Hollywood, Dean Haglund and I refer to on our show as the season of self-congratulation, where we pat ourselves on the back in the industry for all the wonderful work that we do. And as a result, there's so many movies, so many screenings to attend, and it's a very exciting time.
Is it the most wonderful time of the year, Phil?
It's pretty darn wonderful, Alex. Thank you for asking.
That's what I like to maintain. Does that help, Hannah?
It does. Good. Although talking about films, it's reminded me, have you seen the new teaser trailer they released for Avengers Infinity Wars? Because I watched that today and I'm very excited.
Phil, of course, just briefly interjecting, after Wonder Woman that was the last superhero movie he was going to see, checks out Thor Ragnarok. Yay! Rightly so.
Yes! I did see Thor Ragnarok and I was very pleased. The director of Thor Ragnarok is Taika Waititi, wonderful director and comedian and performer from New Zealand. His movie Eagle vs. Shark, his movie Hunt for the Wilder People and What We Do in the Shadows, they are hysterical, wonderful, brilliant movies. Thor Ragnarok is none of those, but it's one of the best of the Marvel movies and certainly, hopefully, will open the door for Mr. Waititi to get to make his movies on a larger scale. So it was very worthwhile. I was really glad to see it. That said, Avengers, I could have, it would be impossible for me to have less of an interest in. So,
Why are you not interested?
There you go. I'm a 49-year-old grown man now.
That shouldn't make you. You're never too old.
So true.
At some point, as we're learning in this country, as the patriarchy is hopefully starting to crumble, we do need to put away childish things at some point.
Yes, but the Avengers aren't childish. They're saving the world regularly, on a regular basis. Not quite to the extent the Justice League do, but that's the by. Anyway, so it goes. Eva, any thoughts from yourself for Phil?
Oh, well, Phil, I just have to ask, how are you in general? Because it's been about half a year since I've spoken to you.
Yeah, I mean, Phil will miss the fact that you had spent the summer with daggers and swords being thrown at you. This was in Skegness, in the Art of Entertainment.
It was a terrifying moment.
Meeting the Chuckle Brothers, having to cope with them, having to entertain the general public. What was the worst member of the general public you had to sort of cope with in terms of... Because the great unwashed can be quite challenging, particularly when you're in the entertainment line.
They were a rowdy audience in the evenings after a few drinks.
Right.
But there was no one in general, really. Just a few terriers of children in the daytime activities. But apart from that, they were all good.
Terriers. Terriers. Yeah. And not terrorists either, because obviously I know the children can... You know, it's a different line.
Oh, gosh,
that would have made news for Skegness, at least. Sorry, Phil. Carry on. You can now respond to Eva.
All the movie industry stuff aside, my own personal plate is so abundantly full with fun opportunities. I'm editing a sequel to a documentary that I made called The Truth Is Out There, and we're taking our film The Lady Killers to distributors, and I'm becoming ever more involved in the community here in Los Angeles through my activities in this charitable foundation. So it's a cornucopia of delicious possibilities.
We are blessed. In the morning, or just after midnight Los Angeles time, films reviewed by Richard Fitzwilliams include Battle of the Sexes, Emily Stone as Billie Jean King, raging, Suburbicon, and clearly some mention for the royal marriage, because it's interesting how the only way Phil Lynas comes back to Britain is when there's a royal wedding. That's the key thing. You know?
I know. Yes. Isn't that exciting?
You know.
I bet they'll time it for the Starburst film festival.
Exactly. That's the whole thing.
Far from enjoying correcting you, I just would like to point out, because I don't know if people know what Battle of the Sexes is about, and so it might be important to get their interest by pointing out that it's actually Emma Stone that stars in it, not Emily Stone.
Good point, yeah. You see, it's always important when you actually just work through those processes. I always like to throw out at least one curly-whirly just to ensure that people are indeed paying attention. Very important.
I'm always paying attention. I always have your back.
It's like sort of the days of Starsky and Hutch before Ken Hutchison's alter ego David Searle went all slightly strange on us, but never mind. Gabriella Peralta's with us, Richard Fitzwilliams is with us, Ian Lennox is with us, talking about Bare Knuckle. Dr. David Lewis Hodgson will be talking about The Way It Was, a photographic journey through 1960s Britain, and we've got news of where the worst area in the United Kingdom is for drink and drug affected drivers. Mm. It's not Lincoln, don't worry. Black Friday regret will be focused on with Jasmine Birtles, and we'll be talking with Corinne Sweet, who'll be talking about the phenomenon of evanescence, the fact that actually people cannot remember what they got for Christmas 3 years ago. Slow as that, just fades away.
Hey,
it's the thoughts that count. Much more stuff on Zion Radio. Where do we go now? Hannah, let's prove you've still got that magic. Put those last two questions to Phil Lynas, please.
Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us this evening?
Always fun.
And will you be joining us again soon?
A little over 12 hours from now.
That's pretty much it, yes. I mean, again, proving once again that you're going to be here for the morning show, for that news and weather from Los Angeles, the weather for Lincoln from LA. Hannah, another treat that you're missing.
Sorry, but we've got a full news day tomorrow morning.
And that starts when?
early. I've got to get in even earlier than normal to edit up our package.
Half eight, quarter to nine.
Yes.
And we're editors.
And they, well,
we have to be the editors.
Yes, we've got organised.
They've given you an excuse. Shaley McKenzie will be joining us. That's the good news. And all wonderful things will be there. Gabriella, I think, is online as well. They'll know when they graduate. It's a whole new world. That's it. Enjoy the rest of the day if you're in Lincoln, England. Thanks certainly to our contributors, Anna Lewis, Al Wyman, Owen. Oh, I can't say thanks to Owen because he kind of gone. Andrea Paris Gutierrez, Kate Boscherel, Andrew Cleek, Andy Cleek, of course, and Phil Leonis. And thanks certainly to Natalie from the Events Centre. Thanks to Eva MacDonald, Hannah Brown and Tessa Snart. We're pretty much out of here now. Can we all say live long and prosper? A one, a two, a three.
Live long and prosper.
Live long and prosper. Is there your reflection finding open hope? It is, I know that you'll thank God you. I know where you've been, where you are, where you're going. I know you're the reason I believe in life. What's the day without a little night? I'm just trying to set a little light. It can be hard. It can be so hard. But you gotta live right now. You got everything to give right now. I've been on a low. I've been taking my time. I feel like I'm out of my mind. I feel like my life ain't mine.